Can we do an experiment really quick?
Okay.
Yes, sure. Okay, I'm going to count to three, and on three, everyone say their favorite Michael Crichton book.
Okay.
One, two, Andromeda Strain.
Congo.
Clueless, the movie.
Jurassic Park, obviously. What are you even talking
Everyone
about?
All Jurassic. Disagrees.
Obviously. Wait. Obviously Jurassic Park.
Are
you guys
kidding?
High?
I think it goes in order of the one with Antonio Banderas as the Viking.
Okay, that's not a book.
Okay, that's 13th Warrior.
And that's a movie.
And it is a book.
It's a
but
movie.
But you guys are fucking crazy. Jurassic Park opened the door to an incredible world where man and thunder lizard walk hand in hand and in talon. What are you talking about? It's not Jurassic Park.
It's like you guys. But Jurassic have you Park. Guys even read the novelization of the movie Clueless? It's his finest work. The people have. It goes down in history as the best novelization of any movie ever to star Alicia Silverstone.
I do want to just say one thing about Congo. There involves a laser gun that is used to shoot primordial gorillas.
Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, Amy Like.
Amy
Tickle.
Amy Tickle.
I am
good gorilla.
I am
Guys, if we switched out one of the four of us with a talking gorilla, would it be a better show? And by would it, I mean,
let's,
yes, of course.
Is there a difference between a talking gorilla and Russ Rushton?
Gorilla, Amy, gorilla, Tickle.
Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and you started while I had a big gulp of sweet coffee in my mouth.
My name is Chris Plant, and I come after Griffin.
My name is Russ Frustick, and I know the best game of the week.
For this episode, we've switched out Russ Frustick with a theremin.
Welcome to the Besties, where we pit the top games of the week against each other and make them battle in a Mortal Kombat style tournament, at which point the end of it, the only one that is still a game is the winner.
Can we write you something? Can we write you some sort
would
of
write me
fucking
a
preamble for the show?
The rhythm of my patter makes it sound rehearsed, and then it's like it feels like the 100 times the Wright brothers tried to take off before it actually worked. Like you could see, it's like it's working. No, off the cliff.
Our current game of the week, or I guess of the year, is Halo 4. And let me just say.
Wait, not of the year.
Well, it's the reigning champ so far.
For the week.
Well, no, it
doesn't go week by week. It's the
We've retired plenty of games for the Hall of Fame, which are going to come back
okay.
at the end of the year.
Yeah, let's just
the,
not confuse final the contention. Audience.
But right now, it's Halo 4.
Yeah.
And let me just say, after further play of both it and Need for Speed Most Wanted, which it dethroned, I feel like I made a horrible, horrible decision.
Yeah, you made a huge mistake.
Because I've played
you campaigned
so much of those
for
two
Need
games.
For Speed.
It's so much better, guys. It's a
Halo.
Way, way, way better game than Halo is.
You're saying Need for Speed is way, way better?
Yeah, significantly.
Like, way better. I feel so bad for deciding to kick it out.
Here's the thing about Halo. It has a car, but also guns, whereas yeah. Need for Speed just has cars.
You know what I would like to bring up about how Halo won? It won because Russ hasn't played it, and Justin said more people like it.
Yeah,
those were our two arguments.
Is it too late to petition to reverse the win?
Hey, well, let me ask you something. Do you guys remember when Marissa Tomei won the Oscar for My Cousin Vinny, and people thought it was a total like bullshit scam?
Sure, yeah.
But no one was like, "Oh, we got to go back and change it." Everyone just sort of lived with the decision.
I've played a lot more Halo 4 though, and like I finished the campaign, and I played some of the Spartan Ops, and I played a lot more multiplayer, and like.
I just have had
so much more fun with Most Wanted. Like
let's not worry about Most Wanted because that it had its shot and it lost. Yeah.
No,
we have to live with that decision.
It won.
But let's talk about how our feelings about Halo 4 have changed, because I've got to be honest. Like I was into it pretty deep, but I think it was the release of Black Ops, which we'll talk about, but I don't know, the wheels really came off for me. I didn't feel that compulsion to push through the campaign.
I finished the campaign.
I don't want to hear any spoilers.
Okay, I won't spoil it, but it was fine.
Is there a large robot man in it?
That's what I mean, there's like a robo suit that you get in.
Yeah, but
that part was cool.
That's what
that
I meant.
Part's neat, I guess. It was a fine campaign, really. It was, but it wasn't like everyone championed it as this like narrative evolution over the rest of the series.
Well, that's not much of a leap, to be honest.
It's not even though. I don't think, like, I get what they were trying to do at some points, and like the relationship between Cortana and Master Chief, like they did finally explore some of that, and that was okay.
Like, so like anal or what?
Wow. Hollow anal, yes. It's
anal.
Wow.
Things got really rampant in there. But like the thing that I pointed out last week about how they sort of introduced this main antagonist, it's like, not that guy again, when I had no idea what and who the fuck this guy is.
Yeah, someone sent us a link to like a trailer. It was part of like the marketing campaign, and he was introduced there. Is that true?
There was also an infographic that some site did where they basically run you through the whole history of the universe. I even read that, and I still had no idea. It wasn't just him. It was like several characters in the story, several plot points, like several locations. Like, if you are not a total Halo nerd, and like I read the infographic and one of the Halo books, and I still had no goddamn idea what was going on. What, like, you, if that is where you are with your story, like you done fucked up somewhere.
It seems weird that there was so much Halo legacy brought over for this that is supposed to be the beginning of a new trilogy.
Everyone thought it was going to be a reboot. Not to mention the fact he teleports across the galaxy at the end of Halo 3. Why is he suddenly running into the same people over and over again?
And also, the big thing about Halo 3 was there's finally a truce between the humans and the Covenant. And then, like, there's Covenant on your ship at the beginning of Halo 4 that you shoot. And Cortana's like, well, I guess these guys are bad. It's like, that's how you fucking...
Well, because he doesn't know about the truce, Master Chief or Cortana, because that happened back on Earth.
I guess.
I know that's not true, because Master Chief says, I thought we were at peace with these guys.
Yeah, and then they go, yeah. Oh, a lot can change in 4 years. And it's like, oh, okay.
Apparently not.
Cool beans.
Because I'll be shooting grunts.
Do you think the grunts are small children?
Yeah, I think that's it. Here's the issue is that, and it's like, all these new, they introduce a new race, the Prometheus guys. And like, but all their weapons are just sort of like,
the
different
same
versions of the weapons that you already got. It's like, that's not super exciting. I don't know. It left me feeling kind of cold. The multiplayer is still fun in like that frantic party game sort of way, but
I think that they're going to run into a big problem with, I mean, I've had this personal issue where I was playing Halo 4, I was enjoying it, but then when the audiences are split between Call of Duty and Halo 4, it's like, I don't know, like, they're coming out so close to one another, I don't know which one to
it, I'm gonna
spend
go
time on. I don't want to be left
both.
By, yeah. Well, no, but I don't want to be left. I'm not saying for
not for the Xbox
people.
Live.
I think there'll be an, yeah. I think there'll be an audience for both of them. What I'm saying is that, like, when it's that cultural zeitgeist that you want to be on board with when a big game is released, like, you want to be playing the same game as everybody else because that stuff is nomadic. You know, it will move on beyond the game. I don't know which one I need to play to keep up with. To, you know, I don't know which way the people I typically play
Justin
with.
Is
I don't play
Justin
a lot.
Is sheeple, is what he's saying.
Right, exactly. What are we playing? Like, just tell me what we're playing.
I shop at Hot Topic, and I only play hardcore multiplayer Braid.
Just tell me what we're playing.
The multiplayer, like, progression stuff in Halo 4 has left me a little cold, too, because, like, I don't know. It's been, like, 10 levels since I've unlocked anything that I found even remotely useful. I'm using the same.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another thing. Sort of, yeah, I'm not looking forward towards any of the upgrades.
Well,
or
and that's the thing.
Anything.
There are some things that I'm looking forward to, and they're, like, 30 levels off. So it's like, well, I guess I could play and level up to whatever level I need to get this one thing way in the future I want. But there's, like, a bunch of cruft in the middle that, like, I just couldn't give less of a shit about.
Lara
and
Croft?
By the way, I fucked up last week because there are challenges in Halo 4, which aren't surfaced well at all. Like,
and I know they're, I know that like Halo 4's success or failure is not, should not necessarily be defined by how well it compares to Call of Duty, but like, I don't play a lot of multiplayer shooters, so I, for me, that constant reward stream you're getting with Call of Duty, it makes it pretty hard to go back to Halo when there's like, I mean, other than the fact that it's enjoyable to play, it's not hitting that dopamine center for me.
I think there are two problems that are happening, though. I think, one, Halo 4 has a problem of going halfway on the Call of Duty boat. I feel like...
Ooh, yeah, it, interesting, yeah.
It's, you know, it's, it lets you do the loadout, but not really anything you want. The rule set isn't really there. It doesn't let you kill things instantly, which I think is part of the dopamine feel for Call of Duty. But the second part is Blops 2 is a Facebook game. I really enjoyed it when I played it last night. But those, when you kill something now, you have emblems that take up like the top third of the screen show up. I mean,
Whoa. I think we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we let's transition. Let's talk about Blops 2. Let's start with multiplayer because it'll, you know, that's a pretty smooth transition. I think it's kind of cheap to just say that the reason the progression in Blobs 2 is great because it just hits your dopamine centers.
It's great for a lot of reasons, but it does that really well.
It does that really well, but I think that, moreover, why I really, really, really like playing Call of Duty multiplayer is because it turns on a dime. Like, you... It is... We're talking about, like, hundredths of a second between when you and another dude see each other and you shoot one another. There are so many mechanics at play in there. And the way that you find the upper hand is, you know, preparation and strategy, but also with your build. And your build is designed for, you know, how you come out on top in those split-second things.
Yeah.
And you can really feel it. Like, when you put on a perk that lets you draw your weapon faster, you know why you won that shootout.
And not only that, because they added, so for those who aren't familiar with, they added this system that they're calling Pick 10, which is essentially where before... customizing your character class in Call of Duty was a pretty straightforward process. You essentially had, you know, a primary weapon slot, a secondary weapon slot, three perks, a grenade, a grenade. So now what you can do is leave one of those slots open and then spend that point in another slot. So for example, I can leave a slot open as my secondary gun. I don't bring in like a pistol and instead give myself another perk is like the basic way to think about it. So what that adds is this extra level that's never really been there of like precisely crafting a character to your playstyle, which has never, I don't think really any shooter right now is doing anything close to that. Where before,
I mean, there are other shooters that are doing things like it, but
similar,
not
but
to
not
this
to this
level
extent. I mean, before
like esoteric,
I think one of the reasons Call of Duty is so addictive, especially like the leveling up and granting stuff, is because every time you level up, there is the potential to get a gun or a perk that is slightly even more suited to your playstyle. So eventually you've just got like, I mean, you know, it's been described as a card game, which is apparently how they originally designed it. But you've got like 50 cards sitting in front of you and you're deciding, okay, these are the ones that I'm going to use. And you're trying to like max out just these certain avenues that, you know, okay, I'm really good with light machine guns and rocket launchers, and then screw everything else. And honestly, it feels like an RPG that, and for a shooter.
Oh, it has been since like Modern Warfare, like the
original
Modern
Warfare.
Yeah, but
more, it feels more like, honestly, like in a lot of the Call of Duty games, I was essentially like, pick one loadout that worked for everything, and this was like my ideal loadout, and I'd never change it. And now I find myself like, depending on the mode that I'm playing, depending on the map, constantly changing my loadouts to totally drastically different things.
Because I feel like people who don't play Call of Duty don't really understand, like, I think people look at Call of Duty and they look at Halo, and they see Halo, and it has, you know, ghosts and these crazy armor abilities and warthogs.
By ghosts, you mean
jump
the cars?
Jets, and like, they see, like, all this shit. Like, they see, there's so much shit that
yes, Russ, he does not mean literal ghosts floating around the battlefield.
No, but there's
why
like...
Why did you hit me with the needle, dog?
There's so much shit that you can do in Halo, right? Like, there's jetpacks and all this crazy stuff. And in Call of Duty, like, to the outside observer, I feel like they think it's just shooting. Like, you're just killing guys.
Right.
But I feel like Call of Duty actually has way more, like, situational things that pop up that you deal with in very, very, very small but important ways with how you prepare your loadouts.
Yeah.
And in some ways, like, that is more important than the loadouts in Halo 4. Because in Halo 4, like, if you have a jetpack, then you know that you can get above a guy. But in Call of Duty, if you have, like, the one perk that makes it so that your footsteps aren't very loud, like, there's so many different situations where you can use that.
It's actually, for me, who, again, not a hardcore multiplayer shooter player, I think that Halo 4 may initially seem better for the more casual shooter fan, but for me, I find that playing Call of Duty actually feels more like a learning experience for me. Like, I can pick a basic weapon set, and, like, every time I die, I feel like I learn a little fraction of something. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, yeah. I learn about this. With Halo, it can feel a bit Calvin Ball at times, right? Like,
yeah.
you think you know the rule set for capture the flag, and then what the fuck? There's a guy in a floating tank that is just sitting outside our base murdering us. And, like, I don't feel like I'm learning anything. I feel like I get lucky more in Halo, and that's fun.
Well, yeah. part of that is also what we talked about last week about in Halo, if you find the rocket launcher, like, you are systematically a little bit further ahead than everybody else, because you can, I mean, of course there are ways to still die while you have it. It's not like
Call of Duty God has that stuff too, though.
Yeah. Well,
Call of Duty doesn't have, like, shit that you find, like, on the map, though, that you're is right. like, well, you have now to this earn is the Uber the weapon. Stuff. Right. Even if you find, like, a turret on the map, somebody's gonna snipe you in the face. Yeah. Like, it's almost useless.
A comparison I like to make for the two is, I feel like Halo, think about, like, when you watch sports replays, or top plays, if you don't imagine that you do. When you watch football, right, the best plays are almost by accident. Like, it's always like, oh, he threw it, like, 80 yards, and it bounced off a defender's head, and it landed in his hands, and he had 1 foot in the end zone. And there are these miracles of physics, you know, like, you couldn't replicate them. And I feel like that's Halo. Whenever I see a great YouTube video of Halo, it's like, yeah, I blew up this warthog, and it hit a traffic cone, and that hit the guy in the head and killed him. It was badass.
Well, that happens, like, again, that happens in Call of Duty,
sure,
too.
Sure,
with, like, throws
what,
of
what's happening, sure, but what is happening moment to moment in Halo, I feel like, is how can I use the environment and the physics and all this weird crap to kill people and kind of adjust the rules and do these amazing feats that are probably not replicable. And what I feel like Call of Duty is like, and I know I'm going to eat crap for this, but is more like soccer, where it's a game of finesse, where what is happening is... it's happening in the seconds, like Griffin said. It's happening the second two people see each other and the, like, very slight adjustments they make to win that battle. In a battle in Call of Duty, it happens in about 2 seconds. You know, either you move fast enough or you use one of your four abilities quick enough to take the person out, whether it be stabbing or throwing a grenade or throwing whatever other special thing you have. I just feel like one is much more a game of the moment-to-moment and not about all this goofy shit. So I'm recapping what you say, but putting it
in
a different
frame. And just to be clear for people who are listening and, like, screaming at their iPods right now, I am not expressing what I think is a deficiency of Halo.
It's what I enjoy more about Call of Duty.
I really do. It really is two different audiences. And like I said last week, for me, it boils down to the fact that it takes two bullets to kill a guy in Call of Duty, and it takes, 7 to 8 to kill a guy in Halo, unless you get sweet headshots or something like that. Like, for me,
I know I do.
Yeah, you get all the dopest headshots all the time and 100 points. But what I like the gameplay loop of, holy shit, I found a guy and he's not looking at me. I'm about to get a sweet kill.
Be honest, though, just Counter-Strike, right? Just Counter-Strike?
What? Counter-Strike.
It's the only one, right?
But, like, Counter-Strike does not have the character customization stuff that this does. Not even close.
Yeah, I'm being a jackass.
Oh, okay. People would argue that it's extremely tactical as well, but I do want to mention, because there are two-thirds of this game that we haven't even talked about, and I do want to briefly talk about the campaign and zombies mode, because there, I would imagine, are a lot of people out there that only play the single-player campaign. So there's some disagreement online.
Are there really people out there who only play the single player?
I honestly believe there are. It's like in the way
that
like,
was me
I'm
going to
go
while.
See a Michael Bay movie every year.
That's
like,
that first mission is what happens.
Wait, are we talking? Okay, like I just played the first mission.
The kill all of Africa mission?
Like, if you turn off the the hard ass music, I am massacring black people.
Yeah.
Like, I am hanging off the side of a truck and massacring black people that are running away.
It is Resident Evil 5 times 1,000. It's Resident Evil 5,000. It's rough and rough.
Like,
and
it
tumble.
Would be pretty gross regardless.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. There's something about me, like, handsome-ass white dude hanging off the side of a truck just mowing people down.
Justin,
who are sprinting
Justin,
off.
Justin, this is from your history books, so you can't judge them.
Yeah.
This is history. Okay. This is history that I apparently was a key player
in. If you want to wiki it, it's from the War of Angola, and you're fighting in that war, which is not pleasant. But I would
say... I know it's not pleasant, but they don't do anything...
to contextualize
it. There's a way where they're like... Where there's maybe just one person who's like, what are you doing? You are murdering so many people and they're just running. What are you doing?
Some people are running at you.
No. What the problem is that they don't contextualize it at all. It's the beginning of the game. It doesn't really feed into anything else. It could be any crazy violent event. And what they chose was the thinning of a herd of people running across just this great lawn.
I don't know if I feel comfortable calling them a herd.
Yeah.
No, that is
how it treats them.
That's how it treats them.
You know that scene in The Lion King? That is how it treats human beings.
Which scene?
Right. If
the scene where
with Timon and Pumbaa,
I don't
want to
spoil it, but his dad dies.
I love the scene where they eat all the bugs.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
and being on the savannah does not help. It looks like a deleted scene from Planet Earth. Like, and now white guy on a truck is stalking his prey. Watch the herd turn. That's how they treat it.
I would agree with you. There is more than the first level, though, and I would say that it does not get much better. There are a couple levels that I really, really liked in the campaign, but literally two levels.
The stuff I've played has been pretty neat, but I'm early. But there's some cool, like, the part
cliff
where
climbing stuff.
The cliff swinging
was
stuff
a very
cool
moment
wingsuit.
That, like, hardly ever happens again in the entire game.
Well, I mean, it doesn't need...
I don't need more cliff climbing, but, like, things on that level do not happen very often.
I have never made it through... I've played, I think, every Call of Duty game since Modern Warfare. I've never made it through a Treyarch campaign.
Oh, Black Ops
I thought Black Ops 1 was terrific. And that's sort of the other thing, is that, like, Black Ops 1 had, like, a lot of really interesting story turns. And the whole time I'm playing this game, I'm not going to spoil anything, but the whole time I'm playing this game, I'm waiting for, like... some crazy-ass M. Night Shyamalan-style twist or something to make the storyline more interesting than what they're presenting, and it never happens. There's no... Like, they had the whole numbers thing in Black Ops 1. It hardly ever comes up. They mention it briefly once. But there was so much rich history there that to move on so quickly, all I can think of was to make this game a future game. The only rationale I can think of, instead of just continuing with like the rich history of like CIA Black Ops stuff, was for marketing reasons, so that they could beat the old Infinity Ward guys to market with their shooter. This is coming out whenever.
Yeah,
and that's what it feels like, because the story is so jammed into the future setting. It just drives me nuts.
It sort of seems like military fanfic or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. It feels like a low grade.
What if we were at war with China and Russia and the internet?
And then there's the whole Strike Force stuff, which is a mess because you're AI control. And then real quick, I just want to mention zombies. For people that love zombies, have loved the like old zombies modes in past games, it's essentially the same stuff. Like, it's cool, and the map's very cool, and you're doing neat stuff. You're, like, building tools and stuff like that. But the gameplay, you know, with waves of zombies coming in and you're building barricades, it works exactly the same as it ever has. The only difference is there's a boss now. And for me, I've never been, like, super drawn to the zombies mode, and I was hoping for, like, some sort of progression system where I'm unlocking new weapons every time I play or doing something like that. There's none of that. There's no progression in zombies. And it just feels like
about
a wasted
transit?
Opportunity. Yeah, transit. That's what I'm talking about. They build transit as like this, oh, this is a game changer. Like, you've got this bus. It's this huge open world. And essentially all it is this bus is on an automatic loop between four very small maps. And you just like keep going around the loop. And you get off the bus and you shoot some zombies. And then sometimes you get back on the bus. And there's like a story that you can follow. But it's not anything super in depth or different from what we've seen in the past, and it just left me like really bummed. Like, I was really hoping for more.
Can we talk about stealth really quick? Because this is one other thing that I think is a problem for a lot of video games this fall. And Justin, you've always despised stealth. And I felt like you kind of maybe turned a corner with Dishonored. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, they really made that loop work for me. Yeah. I think it was making me so powerful in the environment. And also having a... it worked, I think, because they had two loops that both worked that you could switch to without feeling like a failure.
I totally agree. And I think what I noted, I kind of came to the same opinion while playing Black Ops. And it's something that happened also in Assassin's Creed 3, where stealth in most games that isn't a stealth game is now move from point A to point B slowly. Like, it's right. Not actually stealth. It's like, we have a cutscene we'd like to play in front of you.
Yeah.
Move to point A to point B when we say. If you do it before that, we'll make you watch the cutscene again. And, like, that, at this point, is, like, unacceptable.
Yeah. And I think the stealth games that work really well, like you said, Dishonored and Mark of the Ninja is another good example.
They give you agency.
Like, yeah, tons of options for how you're going to go about being stealthy. There are a few points in Black Ops 2 where it's just like, oh, there's a helicopter looking for you. Oh, it saw you. You didn't go the right way. We thought you were going to go. And, like, I had to restart a mission, like, 15 times because I kept doing the same thing. And that's just bad game design. It's lazy game design.
I feel this may be, like, an unpopular opinion, though. And I'm not, like, defending. I haven't been crazy about what I've played of the other parts of Call of Duty Black Ops 2 either. But, like, for me, that game has always been multiplayer. Like, Modern Warfare 2, I think I finished the campaign once and then played close to 100 hours of the multiplayer.
Yep.
Like, for me, that might as well have been, a multiplayer-only game. And I kind of feel the same way about Black Ops 2. So it's hard for me to knock it for having these shitty other parts when, like, my focus on it has always been on this one mode.
Yeah, you know I mean? You're essentially talking about, like, oh, you treat the multiplayer as the real game, and then the rest is just icing on the cake, and whether it's shitty icing or not, it's
still
icing.
And I think they even acknowledge that, because there's an option on the main menu when you're choosing between the three modes to make one of them, like,
the default mode when you load up the game.
The default mode that loads up when you turn the game on.
They've had that for a couple of years now. I think that's they acknowledge the fact that, like, after you've played through the campaign once or maybe even twice, there's no reason to ever do it again, and most
people. Well, moreover, it sounds like, I mean, I only play for multiplayer. Plant, it sounds like you used to only play for single player. Like, they acknowledge that it is, essentially three different games. Like,
That's what made writing the review so impossible. It was like an enormous review, because every section is essentially its own review.
I can't imagine having to do that, because, like, for me, Call of Duty multiplayer is, like, one of my sort of definitive fall gaming experiences. Like, I look forward to getting that game, and all of my old friends that I used to play games with and don't, you know, either live in the same state as anymore or just don't play games with anymore, like, we get together at least for, like, a few weeks and, you know, get our Call of Duty on.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to, I have so much affection for that part of the game that I don't think I could, you know, review it and say, well, these other two parts are shitty, but it's cool because the multi is so good.
I think it's good to talk about three different games, though, and to hold it up to all three standards, because a lot of multiplayer people roll out some statistic. I don't know what it is. It's something like 25% of people actually finish the single player. So it's like, obviously, people are coming from multiplayer. But when you're the highest selling game of all time, 25% is still more than almost every other game that's being sold.
Yeah, you're still talking about millions. 10 million people.
Yeah, and if they're making, I mean, it's really just a bonus for the people who buy the games as a whole, you know, like, the amount of money that they have to lose by not making a good single-player game is still substantial.
Yep.
So it's like, there is an expectation for them to deliver that also.
And they did it with Black Ops 1. I thought the campaign in Black Ops 1 was really good, and it's just a shame that they took such a step back.
Oh, guys, let's talk about this awful chain game.
Okay.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
Tell me, completely ignorant of this game.
There's a game.
Have you ever played Drop 7 and thought, like, you know what would be good is if there was microtransactions?
Hey, how about we don't start with negative? How about we start with...
Oh, sorry. Yeah, let's start with positive. It's a game, and it's free.
Can I talk about the game?
Can we just talk about the game for
once? It's called Chip Chain.
Not a good start, but keep going.
Let me ask you something. Where did you hear about Chip Chain?
I heard about on the iOS Gaming Roundup on Polygon.com. Did you write one of those, Russ, or was that one of those that you were too lazy to write?
No, I do them almost every 95% of them I write.
Okay, I was just checking.
Sure.
By the way, if you are a fan of iOS and you don't read that feature, you really should check it out. It goes every Wednesday.
Yeah, every Wednesday, Russ, at around 2
and Russ highlights all the good stuff coming out for you.
I really do use it as my
iOS watch list is the official name, so you can just Google that.
So
yeah, I check it out every week. So
ChipChain, you're what we're talking about is like a board. It's like a grid, and I think it's either like 7x7 or 8x8, and you have poker chips that have numbers on them, 1 through, you know, however high up you can go. And so you put chips on the board, and for every chip that you place on the board, the dealer also places a chip of a random value at a random place. So while you're sort of doing your strategies, you also have to sort of deal with this chaotic element. And when you put 3 chips of the same number touching each other on the board, when you tap one of them, it stacks all those chips up where you tapped, and it increases the value of the chip by 1. So doing this, you create chains of chips, right? So you can tap like 3 ones together right next to a 2, and then it becomes a 2 and adds onto the 2 chain, and you keep it going, and you get combos for continuing your chain, and the numbers keep going up and up. So while you're also doing this, you're collecting cards, and the cards can do things like add 1 to the value of a chip, or subtract 1 from the value of a chip, or copy a chip, or it lets you pick up a chip from one place on the board and place it somewhere else. So you have to use those cards to sort of maximize your combo as best you can. And that's really all there is to it. The whole time you're earning levels, and every time you level up, you get a certain number of gems, which are sort of the in-game currency. And I actually bought... It's the first game I can really think of where I actually bought a microtransaction, because it's totally free-to-play, but there's only 2 of the 4 game modes on offer on any given day, unless you make like a pretty big in-game purchase, and the only way I could afford that was to buy some gems for like $1 or something like that. So yeah, that's the whole game. There's different modes. There's like a short mode where you have a certain number of chips. There's a daily mode where everybody has the same chips, and you have to try and get the highest score that you can with those chips. And there's like a long form mode with no limit whatsoever, and a timed mode. And it's really good. Like it's one of those good casual games that lends itself to. There's like a casual way to play it, and there's also a very hardcore way to play it. And I haven't had to make any microtransactions other than that first one. I sort of get enough gems. I think the big spending draw in the game is that you can buy cards while playing for gems, and so far they haven't become so expensive that I can't, you know, that I have to shell out money to do it. But you kind of have to do that if you want to make high combos and points. I'm actually number like, I was like 19 on the global leaderboard for one of the modes, and I did that without spending any additional money other than that first purchase. So it's possible. Questions?
I was going to say, because I really like this game too, and I honestly don't understand why Chris Plant would have any issue with it.
Right. It's like, it is a lot like Drop 7.
Yeah.
Like, and everyone
and you love Drop 7, Chris Plant.
I don't like seeing, like, buy cards while I'm playing it, because then I just want to buy infinite cards.
Mm. You can't. Once you buy, like, 2 of any type of card, then that card becomes sold out for the rest of the game.
And
so it's not like you can...
I mean, I don't play it with buying cards. I just use the cards, because they give you cards for making combos. Yeah. So I just
and
use
those. There's other upgrades that you can buy. So, like, when you start the game, the highest chip value you can get up to is, like, a 9 chip, which is, like, really tough to get to. Because if you're not using cards, that means you have to, like, match a bunch of 1s up to 2s, up to 3s, and so on. And, like, it's exponentially harder the higher you go. But then you can also buy, like, the 10 chip and the 11 chip and the 12 chip, and then you can start using those in the game. And you can buy things like extra slots for your cards. You can buy things like you can extend the length of the standard short game to something longer. And, I mean, even these aren't so expensive that you can't, you know, pick them up through leveling or through making this one-time purchase of, like, tons and tons of gems.
I mean, the real problem is probably that I played it for 15 minutes.
Well, yeah.
That could be the issue.
But, like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna say that we should use it to dethrone Halo 4, because that's apparently as much time as I need to dethrone a game. And then I'm gonna come back next week and I'm gonna regret what I said. And I'm gonna turn on everything I said previously.
Listen, if I could turn back time, if I find a way, then I would make Most Wanted.
Best. We've lost the thread a bit. What's been going on in your guys' life? Anything interesting?
Are you guys thankful for anything?
Is this our Thanksgiving episode?
I guess I am pretty thankful.
No, next week is Thanksgiving. Next week's our Thanksgiving episode.
So we can't fucking be thankful for anything except for a holiday.
One week a year is the only time you're thankful. Otherwise, you spit in people's faces.
Are you guys taking anything for granted this week?
Yeah, before Thanksgiving.
I fucking hate my cat. I don't know what I'm doing. What? I just don't know.
Your cute little cat named Toby?
Cecil.
What? You renamed the cat again?
You can't change the cat's name. Do you know what I see? How many times? You're a flip-flopper.
Justin, guys, you are out of your god. Are you guys on PCP?
Do you not pay attention when we talk about our cats ever?
I honestly, is this a different cat? I don't even know.
Justin's cat was named Toby until he figured out that it didn't have a dick because he's an idiot. So he named it Cecilia or some shit. Now
Amelia, but go on.
Now my cat was named Cecil from the jump and always has been. And he's been like my special guy for a long time. But he just came into the room while we were recording and like tried to climb up my leg like it was some sort of banister.
That's nice, like, though.
No, it's not, because he's not declawed. It fucking hurt a lot.
But Griffin, let me tell you, I'm on the flip side of that. My Amelia will have nothing to do. If you try to get close to her, she runs. You can't.
Terrified.
I try to like pick her up or anything. She will not. Like, you can't pet her. If you get close, if she feels you coming towards her, she's like, oh, dip, peace, gonna eat your food that you bought. With money, human money.
My cat's jam is putting his whole head in any cup of fluid that you have sitting around. Like, I will pour myself a tall, frosty glass of iced root beer, and I will set it down on the table, and I will, like, look out the window at a squirrel, and I'll look back, and Cecil will have his whole head in the root beer, like, looking for fish.
And the cat have the same pastimes.
No fish.
Of looking out the window at squirrels.
What now, Griffin? Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a secret.
Hit me,
Griffin. Do you, when the cat has that going on, and you like get out of here? Mm-hmm. Do you ever just like dust that bad boy off and finish it?
No. Once it gets
it's root beer that keeps the stuff in there. That's not going anywhere.
It locks it in.
It's that the is sediment is not floating to the bottom in that scenario.
That is only one of many things that Cecil does now that I absolutely hate. Let's talk about some other shit. He climbs on top of my flat screen television. Like, that's going to happen one to two more times before it falls and kills you. Like,
how big is this cat that he
He's enormous. He's 7 months old, and he's like the size of a full grown cat.
Compared to Justin's enormous cat?
He's not fat. He's like long.
Oh, okay. Long cat.
Yeah. I'm glad we got my fat cat into this week's penultimate episode of Press Reset.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw the footage, and I was every time I see that cat, I'm astounded it's a living being. It is.
Have you thought about not feeding it ham exclusively?
Well, here's the problem with this cat is that I had CJ on like a low-cal diet, which is cool, but now...
Is CJ the cat?
CJ is the fat one. And now, but like, I have to feed Amelia too. And kittens can't eat that low-cal stuff. So now there's just like this other bowl. CJ's like, aw, dip. Thanks, man. Like an upstairs bowl. This is nice.
Second breakfast.
Second breakfast. I don't have to trot my ass downstairs for noonsies. I can just dip in here. And then CJ will come when the bowl is empty and be like, I don't know. That little cat, I think, ate all its food again. It looks so hungry. You should feed it again. I know. I've watched as Amelia looks on in like sadness and just stares as CJ eats her whole bowl of food and then like dips out. I So I don't know how to get CJ back on a regimen.
Can you just put the food like in a bathroom with Amelia and then just like give her like an hour to eat the food alone?
Well, couldn't you just put CJ's food at the end of a treadmill and then just turn the treadmill on?
Or at the top of a mountain. That's
pretty good. I like that.
On the top of a very large pile.
Yeah, we'll have a big pile of food and make her eat her way to the bottom to find her bowl of food.
So she learns her lesson. Listen,
I love cats as much as the next guy, but I want to talk to you guys about the game that I got obsessed with yesterday. And it's called Frog Fractions.
Say it
Frog
right.
That's right.
Fractions.
Frog Fractions.
It's made by Twinbeard Studios. It's a Flash game. Man, I don't.
How do you do this? How do you talk about this
game? I'm going to tell you guys about the. I think if I just say my experience of it a little bit, like what the experience of playing it was.
Now, are you going to spoil it? Because if you're going to spoil it, people should
Frog
know.
Frog Fractions, the game, is that you begin playing. is about a little frog on a lily pad that has a long extending tongue, and each time it hits a fly, there are three pieces of fruit that it owns, and each time you hit a bug trying to eat your fruit with your long tongue, it produces a fraction, and that fraction is added to your score.
Wait, we're talking math?
To teach kids about fractions.
So this is a math
and
game?
There are upgrades, power-ups, if you will, like a like lock-on targeting and a static cling tongue, and lots of Call of Duty style unlocks that you can get as you play the game. You buy them by collecting pieces of fruit that fall down, and Griffin, I said, Griffin, you have to play this game, and he played for, he said, like 20 minutes, and said, man, I just lost a bunch of time playing that. And I said, you didn't find the game. That wasn't the game.
It's like a Dan Brown novel.
When I played, for no exaggeration, 45 minutes, and didn't find the way to progress.
I don't understand.
I think you can give a one great clue that I don't think is a spoiler is look underwater.
Yeah,
just look underwater.
Really, in a frog game where you're looking for fish, just you have to look underwater. That's a surprise.
You won't be able to do it right away.
Here's one that we can talk about. One of the upgrades that you unlock in like the third or fourth round, it uninstalls the lock-on targeting that you probably chose as your first upgrade.
Because ladies don't dig cyborgs.
Right, because ladies don't dig cyborgs, and then it actually will continue to let you buy other upgrades, each one with unique text about buying, locking and unlocking the lock, like upgrading and uninstalling the lock on targeting. You can do it like 30 times, and each time there's new text, and then it becomes clear that there are two people who are putting these upgrades out for purchase. There's one person who thinks you should have lock on targeting and one person who thinks it spoils the experience. And they will continue to banter back and forth in the item upgrades.
Okay, so
this is still not the game.
And I'm not going to spoil this movie for people that haven't seen it, but this sounds a lot like Cabin in the Woods.
That is not a terrible description,
but that's not what it is.
It is closer to UHF.
Yes, it is somewhere between Weird Al's magnum opus, UHF, and the petite charm of the bourgeoisie.
Frog Fractions is a free game. You can we'll link it in this post of the besties if you want to do it that way, or you can just Google it and find it. I really don't want to say more about it, but playing it was like a very unusual experience. It is unlike most things that I have. Well, unlike anything, really, I've played before.
So, Cod Blobs?
Oh, shit! Wait a minute. I want to talk... there's one other thing that I have to talk about.
What?
I finished the fifth episode of Walking Dead.
Oh, no, 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 no,
Are you
also,
sure?
Also, it's not out next week, but we just can't.
No, it is. It's out on the 20th.
But we can't talk about it because I'm so far behind, and I just want to play them all in a row and enjoy myself. So
let's circle back around because we've already Walking Dead is in the Hall of Fame, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It is a serious contender.
Honestly,
for Game of the
Year. I think we can talk about all of it when we get to December and we have the Hall of Fame.
I don't think there's a need to go episode by episode because invariably you're going to be talking spoilers.
Yeah, that's right.
Can I make a suggestion to you, Russ?
Yeah.
I wouldn't play it all back to back.
Why?
To back. I think it is. I think that would be a pretty emotionally grueling experience.
So this is, I'm going to be honest, based on what I've heard so far, because I've literally only played like an hour of the first episode, and I loved what I played, I just haven't had time to go back to it. The issue is I'm currently in the same mindset as Game of Thrones, which I'm reading as well, where everyone's like, it's this emotionally grueling experience, which essentially means any character that I love will probably die. That's all I'm thinking while people are telling me this, and it bums me out because I want to be surprised when these things happen, but now I have no attachments to any characters because I'm like, well, he's probably going to die, or she's going to die.
No, I mean more because the intensity of the experience. Okay. Like, you are constantly on edge. And it feels like 2 to 3 hours where you can't exhale.
Okay, so this is the thing, though. I really, really like crystal meth, so I'm used to that experience. Like, I know that.
Okay, good.
So it should be fine.
Make sure you dip into it, though, and polish that off before the end of the
year. It has a real chance of Game of the Year. A real chance.
We don't need to spoil anything. But if you want to be a part of Game of the Year discussions come this December, you need to play all of the Walking Dead episodes. Because in my mind's eye, like, it is going to be a fucking juggernaut. Like, it's going to be tough to beat.
It is going to be very tough to beat.
From Telltale.
But for now...
Who would have thought?
Yeah, now, from Telltale!
Right.
Who would have thought?
Who would have
thought? For now, Cobb Ops 2, I think, is a better game than Halo.
Well, and I think Need for Speed Most Wanted is a better game than
Justin,
Cod Pops 2.
But is Cod Pops 2 a better game than
Frog Fractions?
Interesting. Yes. Oh. It's interesting to think about.
I can't comment on this because obviously I haven't played Frog Fractions, but...
You don't play Frog Fractions. Frog Fractions plays you.
It is the game of the week.
Call of Duty. Right? I think we can give it to Call of Duty. I will say, just to reiterate... The multiplayer in this Call of Duty, I think, is the best multiplayer they've done so far.
Yeah. Boom. I would agree. It's just based on the Pick 10 stuff. Like
Added like some really cool support where they encourage like people to like support teammates by like granting you kill streaks just by like shooting stuff down and like helping out the team.
Mm-hmm.
So typically, though, when we get rid of like when we have two big games back to back, there's a temptation to say, well, we'll consider them both.
It sounds like
year,
no one has any love for Halo.
Halo's not a bad game. It's just like I prefer Call of Duty. And for me, like when it gets to the end of the year, if both of these games were in the Hall of Fame, I would still probably prefer Call
of Duty. Feel close enough that it seems like there isn't much reason to keep Halo around. Because I can't imagine a scenario where it couldn't. Yeah, like where Black Ops 2 wouldn't come out on top of Halo. So it seems like we should just dethrone Halo and replace it with Black Ops 2.
Before we do that, a better question. Should we bring back Assassin's Creed 3?
Can we? Okay, did you finish
it? I finished
it.
It's the worst.
Can we dip?
It's the worst.
Can we dip back in like extra bonus segment
right
now?
Okay, super short, but.
Super short.
You know, I thought that the introduction was bad. The 8 hours before you actually get to do anything was bad. The rest of the game might be worse. There is not a single story mission, apart from the boat stuff, that I actually enjoyed playing. This coming from a guy that actually dug Assassin's Creed 1, kind of. Loved Assassin's Creed 2, loved Brotherhood. Like, it is the worst Assassin's Creed. Oh, I haven't played Revelations, but it is really...
It's worse than Revelations.
It made me appreciate Revelations.
Yeah, right.
They essentially took everything that you love about Assassin's Creed... threw it in the trash and replaced it with a lot of riding a horse through a forest. It's bad.
It is baffling. It's bafflingly unenjoyable.
So I'm sorry, people that like that game, but you're wrong.
Which one of the four of us is going to bite the bullet and pick up Call of Duty Black Ops Declassified for the Vita to talk about for Jest.
Oh, Activision is probably going to send it because I reviewed Call of Duty Black Ops, and I think they're just sending me all the Call of Duty versions. Mm-hmm.
Enjoy.
So, I mean, it'll only take you an hour, so no worries.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be fun. I'll bring it next week.
Next week is going to be fucking crazy, guys.
I think it'll mostly be Wii U stuff next week.
Wii U stuff. PlanetSide 2 is out next week. Persona 4 Golden is out next week. Is Hitman out next week?
Oh, man, Hitman.
Shoot. It's going to be. Oh, Far Cry 3, when is that? When is
December.
That
That's December.
Okay, but Hitman, I think, is out next week. Next week's going to be good.
Getting heated. But make sure you join us for that. Until then, you can read our text-based words on polygon.com. There's also an ongoing video series called Cooperatives, featuring our own Chris Plant and Russ Freshtick, where they spend a few minutes on video talking about a new release. What's on tap this week, guys?
We actually did Nintendo Land. Sorry.
Perfect. Perfect.
So we're biting your style, but...
Thanks for chomping my flav. Yep. And make sure you join us again next week for the besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
Besties!